Okay, so this evening we're going to be talking about how you find your money meeting and fund your new life. And money is one of the big questions of reinvention. You know, matter of fact, it's the first question that a lot of people come in is, you know, what am I going to do around the money? It's one that triggers a lot of fears, a lot of anxieties, a lot of pressure, or just confusion about what to do. And so this is a big, big topic around how you're going to handle your reinvention. And I always like to begin the topic of money by saying that it's not about the money, which is kind of a radical statement. Everybody's like, what do you mean it's not about the money? It's all about the money. But the first thing that I want to say around money is that the thing around money, we did a study back in 2006 here at the Reinvention Institute, and we surveyed about 300 successful professionals, maybe close to 70% of them who had actually reinvented their careers, and the other 30% hadn't. And what we found is that out of those people who had successfully reinvented their careers, not one of them put money as the number one goal to their reinvention. Now, that in and of itself is interesting, but what was more interesting is that those people who had not successfully reinvented their careers actually had put money at the top of their reinvention goal, meaning that that's what they wanted out of their reinvention was additional money. So what we found from that study is that if you put money as the first goal that you want to accomplish from your reinvention, meaning getting more money, that it can actually act as a barrier to success in achieving what you want. So the people who successfully reinvented themselves, they were looking for other things. They were looking for passion, more fulfillment, you know, a better lifestyle. And money was certainly on the list, but it wasn't the driving factor. And what was even more telling about that data was that, in fact, 25% of those successful reinventors actually earned more money in their reinvention. And then another 50% basically were at parity. So that blew another myth out of the water, which is that if you reinvent yourself, that necessarily you're going to take a cut in salary. We saw that 75% of successful reinventors did not take any kind of cut in salary, and in fact 25% actually earned more money. So again, this kind of gives you a whole new perspective to think about money in context of reinvention, meaning that you want to assign money what belongs to money. And we're going to delve in just a moment about how you do that. But again, if you're just saying, I want to have money and that's what I want is more money, then really it's not a reinvention. It's just about going and getting another job. Because if it's just all about the dollars, then you know, sell yourself to the highest bidder. Don't make it more complicated on yourself. However, if it's about having more fulfillment, having a better lifestyle, finding something that you're interested in, then the reinvention process is for you. And as I said, the money piece definitely can be handled. Now, one of the things is that it's a common belief that the more money we have, the happier we'll be. But other studies, numerous studies, in fact, have shown that wealth and happiness don't necessarily go hand in hand. So once our survival needs are met, you know, we have enough to eat and we keep a roof over our heads, having extra money actually doesn't buy happiness. So why do we think that money is actually going to make us happier? That's because when we reach a certain level of earnings, money moves from being a survival, a means of survival, to a signifier. And a signifier is an idea or a concept that stands for something else in your mind. Okay, and this is the single most important concept behind money and reinvention, is to understand your signifier. So, for example, money may represent security to you, or it may mean more freedom, or power, or time, or status, or something else entirely. But the key is to understand what you're really seeking when you say that you want money or more money in your career. And you've got to understand your signifier. So this helps you unravel what belongs to money versus what doesn't belong to money. This is the first step of doing that, is to understand your money signifier. So are you looking for more security? And then, you know, once you have that, you can then take it another level, okay? Because all of those, security, freedom, power, or time, those are all signifiers as well. Because, again, they are abstract concepts that have different meanings according to different people. So one person, security might mean just knowing that they have a regular paycheck. Another person, security might mean having a certain amount of money in the bank. It doesn't really matter about paycheck as long as they've got X dollars in the bank. So you really have to start drilling down to see what you're looking for around your money, and then below that, what you're looking for in those deeper concepts. And so by understanding your money signifier, you can avoid the potential pitfalls and you can begin your career reinvention path around money, understanding what you're really looking for. So what happens if you don't understand what your money signifier is that you'll accept a position, but you'll be miserable because it causes you to work too many hours, because really what you wanted was more time. So you thought, okay, as the money's here, so I'm going to do that, but you know, it didn't give you what you truly wanted. Or you'll take a job for a big bump in salary at a competitor known for layoffs, but despite that pay raise, you'd feel constant anxiety because you wanted security, and you didn't have any security at that company. So money signifier and knowing what that is means that you can check to ensure that whatever you select for your next reinvention delivers whatever you think that money will be. So this is the most important thing because, again, as the foundation of your reinvention, as you're pursuing it, you've got to know what you're really seeking and say, okay, I'm really looking for security, and how can I give myself that security? Or what I'm really looking for is time, and how can I give myself that time? Do I want to have work 4 days a week, or do I want to have the ability to take 3 weeks off at a time, or whatever it is, or do I just want a flexible schedule so that, you know, certain days I can work 10 hours and the other days I can work 5? Whatever it is, define that for you. This is how you get to where you really want. So you start with your money signifier, and then you move to your secondary signifier, which is that concept that you think money represents, and you begin to unravel that as well. So that's kind of the conceptual, emotional piece around money. But let's talk about the practical costs of reinvention as well, because, of course, there are hard costs to reinvention. And when you look at what really truly belongs to money in all of this, it's those costs. And so there are three main costs or three main categories that you need to look at when you're assessing your cost of reinvention. And the first one is your lifestyle. I mean, that's just basically, what does it cost for you to be a going concern? What does it take to keep a roof over your head, to keep yourself and your loved ones fed, to keep the lights on and the phones working and the internet on so that you can email out? You know, these are the costs that you want to know, as well as, you know, lifestyle, and I mean by that some of the pleasurable things, because oftentimes many people want to just strip out all the pleasure of your life because they feel like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going through this transition, so I can't have anything. But that's not a route that you really want to go, because when you slide into deprivation, it becomes very difficult to be motivated. You certainly want to be wise and spend wisely around when you're planning for a reinvention, but you want to have some room for those pleasures, whatever they are, in your lifestyle budget. And I always recommend to my clients and to the people who come in to the Reinvention Institute that they look at kind of three levels. So what's the minimum? What's your minimum lifestyle number? This is just the one that you can sleep easily at night. This is the number that says everything is met, you know, everything that essential is met, and, you know, I have a little bit of breathing room, so I'm not panicked about the next bill that comes in or if the car needs an emergency repair. That's that minimum number. Then there's a medium number. And that medium number is, you know, some of the niceties of lifestyle, more niceties of lifestyle, maybe travel, maybe a little bit of a trip, those kinds of things, dinners out, on a more frequent basis, because, of course, your minimum number should include some of the pleasures of life. But, you know, the medium number is, you know, without too much tweaking, maybe it's a little bit of shaving here and there that, you know, you can cut down and release some cash flow and throw that towards your reinvention. And then there's the maximum number. That's the way that you're living today. You know, nothing changes. We're just doing everything, and we're not really thinking about it. So you create those three levels, your minimum, your medium, and your maximum number, and then you kind of know, you have them in your mind so that you can begin to work with them in terms of your reinvention financial planning. Now, the second aspect that you need to consider when coming up with your cost of reinvention is the investment that it's going to take in your actual reinvention. And that's something that a lot of people don't really kind of think about when they go in. They're like, okay, I want to reinvent my career, but they don't really think about that there are hard costs associated with that. And some of those hard costs can just be as mundane as subscribing to a newsletter for an industry that you're interested in, or perhaps there's a conference that you'd like to attend and the cost to attend might be $400 or $500. Or, you know, there's a trip that you need to make in order to do some investigation. So these are the things that you're going to want to look at, or even a class that you'd like to take to help sharpen some skills that you want to do. So these are the things that you need to look at because they're the hard costs, the investment that you need to make in moving yourself towards a new career. And you want to have a fund for that. So you, it's actually kind of your reinvention investment fund, and that's your money. It doesn't come out of your regular ongoing minimum, medium, or maximum lifestyle budget. This is something that you have set aside so that you know if an opportunity comes up for a particular job fair in Washington, D.C., that you've got the money for a train ticket and the entry fee and to maybe stay in a hotel. So you want to build in your investment, your reinvention investment fund, and have that separate from whatever it is that you for your lifestyle. So those are two different numbers that you start with. And then the third number that you want to take a look at are just your incidentals that are associated. These are more variable costs. So these are things like getting personal business cards printed if you're currently working and you're trying to explore something new. Oftentimes it's better just to give a personal card out rather than your current employer. Or, you know, taking people to lunch. You're going to be networking with natives and with your reinvention board members, which we'll be talking about in a week or two. And so you need to have some money on hand to treat people to coffee or to treat them to lunch or things like that. So just, you know, incidentals, you know, actually you know, maybe more taxi rides because you'll be going for more meetings. So you want to have a separate fund for that as well and just kind of know and watch. And that's something that you can kind of gauge as you're going along. But, again, you don't want this to come out of your lifestyle budget. And you want to plan for those incidentals, whether you actually include it in your reinvention budget or it's just something that you have on an ongoing basis that, you know, maybe there's $30, $50 a week, depending upon wherever you live, just for those incidental expenses. If it's Manhattan and it's involving weekly lunches, it's going to be more than that, or, you know, you get your favorite restaurant and you kind of know what you're going to do there. So these are the three components that you're going to be looking at for your cost of reinvention: your lifestyle cost, your investment, your reinvention investment fund, and then your incidentals. And that actually equals your cost of reinvention. So that's how you get to the number that you know you need to hit. Now, the thing is that you have a number, but that number doesn't have much meaning unless you actually can have a timeline. And as you know, I'm not a big fan of setting deadlines in reinvention because I believe that setting deadlines creates an artificial pressure to accomplish something by a particular date, and oftentimes those deadlines are not tied to when opportunity wants to or will show up. It's really more tied to either your own tolerance for ambiguity or usually a dollar time, meaning that you have X amount of time until your funds run out, and so therefore you want your reinvention to happen within that time period. That is not the way that you want to go about it. You want to look at your timeline in terms of your cost of reinvention to say, how much time do I have? But you don't then set a deadline for your reinvention because, again, you're going to cause stress and panic to yourself, and it will be very difficult to move towards something new. Instead, you have your estimated timeline, and let's just for the sake of example, say it's 6 months, and then you brainstorm ideas for how you're going to meet your cost of reinvention during that time. So if you think it's going to take you 6 months, or that's what your dollar figure is, you know, you kind of brainstorm like, all right, what am I going to do for those 6 months? But actually, I'm going to rework that a little bit. I actually just realized I twisted something around here. So strike what I just said, because that was a little bit of a mix-up. Actually, when you're looking at your estimated time of reinvention, that's actually your window for what you really think it's going to take, not what you want it to take, meaning that what's being driven by your dollar amount, but what realistically you think it's going to take. And that accounts for, again, how much of a switch you're making. Are you just moving from, you know, one part of your industry to another part? Or are you making complete industry switch? Do you need to go back to school or volunteer to do more training? Do you need to build a new network? So these are all things that take time. And so you have to take a look and see, given all of the changes that you're looking to make, what is your estimated time for reinvention? So it could be a year. You know, I always say that a year is a great window. Sometimes it can be 18 months to 2 years, depending upon the depth and the magnitude of the switch. So you want to look and if it's a year, then you want to brainstorm ideas about how you're going to meet your cost of reinvention during that time. Now, you may have just on hand 6 months, so you need to plan for what's going to happen once the cash that you immediately have on hand is no longer available. So this is where you have your backup plan, and I call this your reinvention peace of mind. That is your plan B strategy. And your plan B is that thing that you'll do that if you see that your reinvention funds and your lifestyle funds, that cost of reinvention is starting to run low, you plan in advance what you'll do to bring in additional cash flow to meet that gap. So say you're at month 4 and, you know, your reinvention is still looking like it's going to take a year, then you would activate your plan B. And your plan B is actually something that is easy for you to do. You know, it's a skill or a talent that you have that you can easily sell on the open market and that can just bring in some cash flow, whether part-time, full-time, consulting, whatever it is, you want to know. Or, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a job. It can be, you know, another funding source of reinvention. It could be, a particular deep savings that you have that maybe you'll tap at that point. So whatever it is, you want to know what your plan B is. So, again, you have your cost of reinvention on hand, and then you figure out whatever your plan B is. And there are several funding sources that you can think about even when you're thinking about your cost of reinvention or your plan B. One of those funding sources is your job if you're currently working. And I always say to people, if you're already working, don't quit. And that's hard because a lot of people come in because they really hate what they're doing and they're like, I just want to leave. But I always say no, because your current job is a funding source of reinvention. It can actually, it's how you invest in moving yourself forward. So many times, just shifting your attitude, looking at your current job as a funding source and as a source of other potential investment things, of cutting your investment in reinvention, can really help shift your attitude. So a lot of times your company will invest in training. So if they're investing in training, that means you don't have to have your own out-of-pocket investment in training. So right there, you've lowered your cost of reinvention. So if you're already working, look not only at your salary, but look at those other costs that you think are going to be a part of your reinvention, and see if there are ways that you can have that company or parlay your current job into lowering some of your out-of-pocket investment expenses in other areas. Now, if you're not working, there are other options. There are savings if you happen to have them. If you have a partner or a spouse who's already working or continually working, that's another funding source of reinvention. You know, borrowing is another funding source, although that's one very stressful if it's something that has a timeline or a deadline associated with it. So if you're going that route, I really recommend that perhaps if you're going to do that, that you take something that doesn't have a timeline to pay it back, because otherwise you'll put yourself under undue stress. And then, as I said, you know, that plan B, those skills and those talents that you have that you can just go out and sell from a consulting perspective, something that is not long-term, that just kind of gives you that cash flow coming in while you lay out your plans on the other side. So those are all the funding sources that you can research and and kind of evaluate to see how you're going to best meet your cost of reinvention.